I'd like to tell you that I just went on a rant at Nate about Juan Thornhill and Dan Sorensen. That I made him feel very uncomfortable. I felt like he wanted to leave the studio. I was very, I don't know. I was letting frustrations out on you. I'm sorry. It wasn't your fault.
Well, but I was agreeing with you.
Right. You just let me talk. I was airing it out.
I'm a good sounding board sometimes.
Let's see if Nick Leckie would be a good sounding board. Hello, Nick. How are you?
Hello, gentlemen. Is it Festivus? Do we move the dates for Festivus?
Absolutely. It is an airing of grievances. Nick Leckie.
I don't think it should be all on Dan Sorensen, though. I don't think we should, you know, it's very easy to do that.
Right.
But there are greater problems, that for sure.
But he was one of them.
Correct. I mean, there's a lot of them, though, too.
So you could speak to this, though, okay? I was just telling Nate, like, I would just get irritated when same people would dismiss, well, the coaches know more than us, and they're not going to pick the wrong. There's a long history of coaches making personnel errors. And sometimes coaches don't play the right guy. Sometimes they have favorites. It's not always, these coaches aren't so perfect where they don't make mistakes. I mean, any Chiefs fan should be able to tell you. One of the worst mistakes ever made was playing Elvis Gerback instead of Rich Gannon. And they let a contract make that decision. We've seen players over the years, like, how in the hell is this guy still in the lineup? Managers, coaches, they can have favorites. They can be motivated by a number of different things. And I feel good for the vast majority of Chiefs fans and people in the media that just said, look, it's not the only, of course it's not the only problem. It can't be the only problem because there's 11 guys in the field and the defense at times was so bad, it just couldn't be the only problem, but it was one of the problems. And it's no mystery that they flip-flop the snap counts. Thornhill plays 100% of the snaps and Sorensen doesn't. And then you could, and then Pro Football Focus grades Thornhill out. Double what Sorensen's been getting great at, one of the best players from Sunday, and people watching the film and looking at the film, oh, there it is. Thornhill helped this team. He was much better. And so that's all. Sometimes we just want to defer to coaches, and I get that. That's their profession. But as Nate said, we all have blind spots. Everyone in every profession at every level makes mistakes. For whatever reason, they had Sorensen out there for too long. And it's proven that it was a mistake. I'm just glad they recognized it and reversed it. What did you see besides Thornhill out there and besides a better matchup? Let's be honest. I know Washington puts up some good numbers, but their offense is not as dynamic as the Chargers or the Bills or the Ravens. But still, the Chiefs went out there and were much better defensively. What did you see besides Thornhill being out there that helped the defense be better on Sunday?
Well, just a lesser offense. I mean, you always have to keep perspective, and I think that five-game run that the Chiefs went through to open up the season is probably one of the most difficult schedules you'll ever face. I mean, if you think about it, if you can list, like, this right now, just out loud, who are the top teams in the AFC right now? Baltimore, Cleveland, Buffalo.
The Chargers?
Who do the Chiefs play?
Chiefs, yeah.
Right? And who do the Chiefs play?
All of them.
All of those teams.
Every one of them.
Everyone. And you had Philly and Washington thrown in there as, like, palate cleansers, as, like, ginger in between sushi dishes, right? Just fillers. So your defense got straight exposed because you played the best offenses who this was their Super Bowl, right? Like, they were up for the Chiefs, and the Chiefs weren't up for these teams.
And let's be real. They made Jalen Hurts look like an All-Pro as well. And so even though they won that game, their defense got sliced and diced in that game too.
Exactly. So it was a bit of a run. And don't look at this like I'm making excuses for the defenses. I'm just saying don't have blind spots for that schedule. Like, you just can't. You really, like, just factor that in your equation. I am not making excuses. You have to, it's your job as a pro to get up for every week. And sometimes that's tough, and sometimes the other team is more motivated, you know? You know, I'm sure the Bills have, have been marked this game on their calendar since they lost last year in the AFC Championship game. So yeah, and it's just one of those things where, and if you look at like defensively, you have to also look at football is a great sport because it's 53 guys doing the same thing on game day. Is you have to look at the offense, you know, offensive support. There is a level of frustration, as I can tell, as an offensive player, if you go out there, you score, and the defense gives up a score, you're like, all right, guys, you know, let's go out there, let's get this, and then you do your thing, and the defense lets them score. And there's a level of team and unity and anger if the defense doesn't do their job. And it's vice versa for the offense. If the offense is going three and out and putting the defense back on the field, man, that's body blows, right? For boxing term, that's body blows.
Yeah.
You're going to be worn out. You'll be worn out. And so you can only do so much. Don't even get me started on that Iowa State 18-play, 10-minute, 93-yard drive.
Oh, no.
K-State. Just, oh, my God. So it's things like that where the offense helps the defense, defense helps the offense, special teams helps, and sometimes hurts with short field position, too, is a mental thing. But it's mental. It's all mental. You're like, damn it, defense, get your stuff together. Or on offense, you know, it's like, or defense, it's like, come on, offense, get a drive. Let us get some water and sit down and rest for a second. So a lot of factors contribute to that. And maybe Thornhill, like, I mean, why do you even start the season with, like, the third team, right? Must have been some issues that we weren't seeing.
So hopefully those issues are in the rearview mirror now. We'll see him continue to play and play well. Now, you know as well as I do that we get caught up, both as fans and the media, when you've got a side of the ball that's struggling. Anytime a free agent becomes available, we demand that the team sign said free agent. And Jake's right at the head of the line. Jake is willing to trade draft picks to throw me. You right when Jalen Smith, you wanted him, right?
Yeah. 100%.
Who else?
Gilmore.
Yeah, Gilmore, you wanted him. You were ready to roll. Okay, so now the latest is pass rusher Whitney Mercilus, who's been...
Yeah, I loved him.
That's right. I want you to love him. And so Aaron Wilson, who does a great job of covering the Texans and who's been all over this story a couple of times, has mentioned the Chiefs when talking about Whitney Mercilus. And so he said that that Whitney Mercilus, now that he's let go, one of the teams that is very interested in him is the Kansas City Chiefs. And so I want that to be true. And I know, again, it's one player. It's not the end-all, be-all. But if you tell me you can get a guy, he have three sacks already this year. If you can give me a guy that can show any ability to get to the quarterback, and another way that the Chiefs could feel more comfortable moving Chris Jones back to the inside, sign me up. I'm here for it. And so also, Jeff Allen tweeted this picture yesterday of him and Mercilus exchanging jerseys when the Chiefs play the Texans, and he said, "Do the right thing at Mercy 380." And then Whitney Mercilus retweeted that with a GIF. Is it GIF or GIF? GIF. Jay, GIF?
GIF? GIF. It's a graphic interface format.
Yeah, so how would you describe that? What's that?
It's
what's
a
that?
Peanut butter.
GIF, GIF.
It's a peanut what is butter
that?
Brand.
Who is that? Smiling.
But just
some
smiling
mouth.
Like, yeah, maybe, yeah. Right? And yeah. So he's flirting with the Chiefs. He's flirting with the fans. Would you like to see the Chiefs pursue Whitney Mercilus?
You know, so is he a DN or outside linebacker? I can't tell. He can do both, right?
Yeah.
I've seen him on coverage. He's like, I've always loved him for his coverage, and if he can generate some pressure, that would be great. The thing you have to be concerned about, and this is something that it's difficult, but it's good to make a change to bring in someone, but they can also sink a locker room. Like, if you kind of live on this, well, you're out, next guy up, then it can kind of disrupt chemistry. But if there's no chemistry or if people are injured or if you're looking at, to get something, it could help. But like I said, there is a sort of delicate balance in a locker room where you see a guy get cut, you're like, oh, crap, we're all on notice. So you could strike fear or you could motivate. And it just depends on personality, too. But I like the idea of bringing in Whitney Merciless. I've always been super high on him. I've loved him. Every time he's played the Chiefs, I think he's balled out. You know, I think he gets the he can cover on the edge there, and I think he's a great addition. Would be a great addition to the Chiefs. And by the way, is it this year only where these veterans are getting released like mid season? Like, this is so bizarre. Like, this is just weird.
I have to admit, I don't fully understand it.
I demand that they sign him. Don't waste any time trying to understand what Houston
weird.
Does.
It's weird.
But Houston's
it's
a different
really
animal.
Weird.
Like, whatever they're doing, I don't know what they're doing, right. But just trying to benefit him. Jake, do you want him?
Oh, hell yes.
Okay,
I want him.
Jake says, oh, hell yes. Nate, you want him?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, hell yeah.
Let's go. Let's get him.
Well, and Houston doesn't exactly have the pedigree of making great free agent decisions.
Right.
Also, they're
or
in a
just personnel decisions
world.
In general.
Yeah, that DeAndre Hopkins trade. Really,
what, you don't think they got enough
the
for
organization?
Him?
They got a decent running back for him.
Who's yeah, that? Right.
David Johnson.
No, he's third string. He's healthy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Moody was injured at the time
right.
they
he
got.
He just doesn't.
That's amazing. Right. But yeah, but that's one of the things where you're like, what are they doing? You're like, nope. You always want to have like a benchmark. You want to say, we want to be doing the opposite of what Houston's doing. And so maybe this would be a great trade because D-Hop's worked out well for the Cardinals. That's for dang sure. So, yeah. But, yes, to answer your question, I agree. I would love that idea. I do. And I want to see Frank and Chris on the same line together at some point this season. I think that would be fantastic.
Boy, wouldn't that be something.
Because, I mean, Frank brings – I mean, he's not generating pass rusher. But damn, he's a presence, and he's a force in that locker room, man. He's a motivator.
Wouldn't you,
him on the field, man, gives you confidence. He's so smart.
But wouldn't you like to have Whitney Merciless there in a rotation between Mike Dana and
yes,
Frank Clark?
I would, man.
And I like Turk Wharton. He had that unbelievable interception. But
that was so cool.
Turk Wharton can play all
guy,
over.
Cornelius.
And involve him as well. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, you can only add depth on that defensive line position. That'd be fantastic. Can you get another edge rusher, another veteran pass rusher who fits that let's win now mentality? Let's win this year and let's win next year and not worry about 3 years from now. Who cares? That's a future us problem.
Nate, let's win now.
I'm for winning now and later.
There it is. All
right, done. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, you're
witness. That's one of my favorite candies as a kid, now and later. I like
sure.
the pineapple ones.
Mm-hmm.
That really? That's kind of, okay, that, like one of your favorites.
You didn't like now and later?
I hate them. Man. Hard.
I like hard candy.
I like
it hard.
Have you guys...
They don't hold a candle to a Mamba.
What did you say, Nick?
I like way better than Mambas.
Have you guys ever combined Nerds and Starburst?
No.
That sounds good to me.
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. Because you get... It's textures.
Yeah.
And it's glorious. And they're like opposite ends of the spectrum. You put them together, it's like peanut butter and jelly.
It's kind of like putting Doritos on your sandwich.
Oh, that's
I love that.
Yeah. You
know?
Yes.
Okay, so then the next question I have for you, Nick, is do you ever have them put the Nerds in your Sonic slush?
Oh, my kids like to do that.
That's available. That's a very delicious treat.
The temperature thing, though, to me, like frozen Nerds are like rocks. On my teeth, I can't do it.
Okay.
You know, it's like eating gravel. I can't do that. And my daughter Nora, she likes those Sonic slushies.
Well, and speaking of eating gravel, Jake, I don't know if we still have that clip of the Nebraska reporter and his coverage of the loss to Minnesota.
There wasn't. Hey, that guy. He started. He's a photographer.
Yeah.
And has started a fan site. And so people
really?
Criticized him. Did you hear that?
I thought
it was
fantastic.
No.
Well, this
I'm out of the loop.
Did you? Well, you're going to hear a couple of clips. First, this man was on the field. This was after Nebraska had lost to Minnesota. And from what we could tell, he did not seem to be very happy with this loss.
Yes.
And he was getting that. Dave, so have you heard this?
I heard 10 seconds, and okay. Right when he said, I'm going to walk in front of a bus.
Right, well, let's hear.
Like, all right.
Well, the whole thing is,
let's hear more
content.
Of it. Let's just listen to it.
But, you know, it's 30 to 23. My mom, what a Freudian slip. My wife texted me, and she said, what's your plan? And honestly, my plan is to walk in front of a f***ing bus. Because the first half of this game for Nebraska, it was like eating a bucket of feedlot s***. You know, with the gravel and everything in it, it was a terrible first half. And then the second half, we came out, and we did like we did against Michigan. We started scoring points, we started moving the ball, and ultimately it wasn't enough as we gave up that big run. I like the way that Minnesota mixes up their quarterbacks between Morgan and Kramer, because Kramer, you know, makes you confused. You think he's going to keep the ball, and then bam, he hands it off, he throws it. In the first half, I'll say this. Honest to God, in the first half, I'm not making this up. At one point, I thought, I'm just going to go in, take my camera gear off, and quit all of this because it's really hard to take. And I was just going to take all my clothes off and leave the stadium. I probably wouldn't have got far, and people would have gone, my God, nobody needs to see that. But again, does anybody need to see that anymore? We need to learn how to win games. One-score games. I don't
wow.
know. Look at them. They're all down there having fun, the motherfuckers. I guess. Congratulations, you Minnesota goof bastards. Who thought this Nebraska team could score 38 points against Minnesota? What kind of a jackass would make that prediction? I thought Bowling Green, Minnesota, to show up. What the hell was I thinking? There's no hope. F*** everything. Go Big Red.
That's John Johnston, who is has operated the fan site Corn Nation, part of the SB Nation network, for 15 okay. years. Also, a credentialed yeah. photographer who was out there taking some yeah. great pictures. So.
I just like the yeah. sign off was perfect. There's no hope.
Right.
Was, blank everything.
Was,
go Big Red.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So I guess I don't want to take light, but I guess if you're filming yourself and putting it out there, right? You're putting yourself out there. The one thing I respect about this is his honesty, which I don't feel like we get enough honesty in this world. And so I got to say that. And I appreciate it. I'm sorry for laughing. But, man, sports ain't that big a deal. You know, like, it is a big deal. It's fun. But to go that far, like, damn, bro, take a chill pill. Find another hobby. Like, maybe go take photographs of birds in nature and just,
oh,
you know, get in touch with yourself, right? Better use of that telephoto lens.
Okay.
But yeah, man, that was... I can't believe that. You're right, that sign-off is brilliant.
Couple of quick things before we run out of time with you, Nick. That's right, go Big Red. right now, Derrick Henry is averaging 130.5 yards per game, and he faces the Chiefs on Sunday. Will he be over his season average of 130.5 or under his season average? And then tell us what happens on the field, who wins the game.
Oh, man. Well, I definitely think that you could try. I mean, I think Whitney Merciless would do well versus
thank you.
You know, him. You know, they've had a lot of experience. You know, they're in the same division for all these years, so gets to play him twice a year. Might have some tips and tricks for you, and that would be nice. It would be really nice. And I don't know. I don't trust Tannehill. You know, they're definitely like Derrick Henry, like, let's get him the ball, and then, you know what, we'll run some bootlegs, run some play action. It seems like a basic offense. It does. The main thing for Tennessee, man, they got a really good defense. You know, they got a really good defense, and I think that's what you get from their head coach, who was a linebacker for the Patriots for so long. And, you know, they always are like an adult team. You know, they're smart. You know, they play the game like Vrabel played the game, which is, you know, smart. And, you know, we'll mix it up a little bit. But you see, they tried that Music City Miracle that failed. And, which I don't, yeah. But, yeah, but I like the Chiefs. I think they're on a roll. I think they'll be happy to play anybody that's not a top five offense on defense. And if you could just focus on that and not a very mobile quarterback, I mean, Chiefs will have some success. I really do.
So, you know, you talked about the play action pass. The big buzzword last week or buzz phrase was eye discipline. That's what you're hearing from the coaches. And then,
oh my God.
So, okay. Your reaction to that, apparently you have one.
It just like, you know, a coach says it, you know, what Sorensen, you know, lack an eye discipline. And then you just hear it like a billion times on social media and in whatever. And I'm like, just, oh my God, can we get a new buzz phrase already? Like let's start talking RPO or something.
Yeah. You love RPOs. Especially when everybody misidentifies them all the time. I think that's your favorite.
Correct. I do. But yeah, but no, it is a thing. You know,
especially when you're worried about play action, right? Like you have to. I feel like there's a danger that some receivers for the Titans might get behind some of the linebackers and secondary members of the Chiefs if they're going to be biting pretty hard on some of those play fakes, right?
Just you don't want to get Micah Hyde or Micah Hyde, right? You just worry about the pass and pray to God that the D linemen or the linebackers make the tackle, and you just have to worry about the wide receiver. And if you just turn your back to Derrick Henry, it's okay, right? You can just worry about coverage. And if he gets in the secondary, just be like, "Oh, you got this." I don't like stepping in front of large stallions or Clydesdales. So you got this. We're good.
All right, you
know? Not our responsibility anymore.
Nick, before we run out of time, I want to play this clip from Chris Kleiman from yesterday for you, and it's been quite a topic of discussion, and I just want to hear. If like just what your reaction to this is, Jake played for Nick Leckie, please.
We had an opportunity to win all three games. We didn't, and now we have a chance to move forward in the next one. And you cannot trip on what's behind you. We didn't play well enough, and we got beat. And if you keep thinking about the negative, you're going to lose sight of what's coming in front of you. And I know that we have to challenge each other as coaches and challenge each other as players to be better, but you need to do that with a positive mindset. And sometimes we all have a tendency to take it from the negative standpoint. I'm telling you guys, 18 to 22-year-olds can't handle the negative side of things. And we have to, and I'm asking you guys, I'm asking for your help. We need to be more positive. I know we can play better. You know we can play better, but we've got to give these kids more positive things, because we got a great locker room in there, kids that do care about each other, kids that love each other, coaches that believe in these kids, and we can't give up on them.
Nick, what's your reaction to those comments?
That's why he's my guy. That's why I love Kleiman. You know, you have to look at the greater picture. You have to look at what's going on, and you look at kids these days. Look at if you're in college. I mean, you don't know anything but social media, right? I mean, Twitter started come out in 2009. And most of these kids, you know, that's when they're coming of age. So these are our youths who spend the majority of their times on Twitter, on Instagram, doing their thing, TikTok, making fabulous Justin Bieber videos. And I agree with that. I feel like a lot of K-State fans, they say, okay, we're 0-3 in the Big 12. This sucks. Everything's wrong. Let's burn the building down. And I agree with Kleiman, man. You don't need that negativity. Don't be at recruits. Don't at players say you suck, slide up in the DMs and be like, yeah. I think we do. There's got to be an element of positivity from the fan base. You know, I see a lot of people on Twitter will say things, and I'm like, you know what? I don't want you as a K-State fan. We're going to lose a couple of games that are close, and you're just going to be like, no, nope, this sucks, fire everything, rebuild. No, I agree. Stay positive, man. You have to have that mindset of, you know what? We can't listen to this noise. Let's filter out the noise. You know, let's surround ourselves with positive people. And it's right, because negativity breeds negativity, and positivity breeds positivity. And I think if you create that atmosphere of positivity and, you know, belief, then, yeah, it happens. Sometimes in games, you know, it takes the fans to cheer you up, you know, to get you motivated. And that's what you need. You know, you don't need negativity. Like, honestly, stay out of my foxhole if you're going to be negative. I don't need that. It's unnecessary. And people act like players don't care, coaches don't care. No, man, they live and breathe that stuff. That's all they're doing. So give them a break. Give them credit. Stay positive. Do your thing, man. That's your part as a K-State fan. Be positive. Be supportive. Don't be a jerk. Don't be negative. Because guess what? We don't need that.
But no problem with him asking the media to be more positive?
You can cr- criticize when there's facts? Absolutely. No, no. I think if you're going to come with facts, be like, you know, this needs to get improved, that needs to get improved. Yeah, no, you come with facts. State facts. The facts are the facts. Whether they're negative or positive, you know, shed light on those facts. And you know what? Challenge those players to get better. Challenge those coaches to get better. That's what you got to do. But if you can say something critical and point to a play, be like, hey, what's up with the play calling on this one or whatever. You know, you can do that. Yeah, I mean, you're just saying be positive. Don't just say, you suck. Bye. No, that's not needed. But no, I think you should be critical. I think because it makes people work harder. You call people out. It absolutely does. There's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. I think it's all he's saying.
Nick, thank you very much for the time, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, gents. See ya.
That was Nick Leckie. We'll be back after this on WHB.